four ladies from across the world. We have come just to give a word. Come one, come two, come all. Ride with us and we won't let you fall. Loving God is what we've come to do. Edifying queens, oh, that's EQ.
Purity, purification, purified. All of these words have to do with ridding something of its contaminants. This reminds me of the process that God takes us through when He takes us broken in our mess and He cleans us up and rids us of anything that is not like Him. This is your girl, Purified, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. Happy Friday, good people. Boy, I tell you, there is nothing like Friday. I always say, whoever came up with it, whoever you are, who said that Friday was like the last day to work, like, thank you. Because Friday is everything. And for those of you who work on the weekend, bless you. But for those of us who work that Monday through Friday shift, Friday is everything. So I hope you are doing well, feeling well on this great day. And as you could see in the title, we are still in the series of Life is Hard, because we just want you to understand that you're not alone. And I know too often it feels that way, you know, when you're in the midst of something, and that I feel like that's the enemy's greatest weapons is to isolate us and to make us feel like we're the only person that has gone through XYZ. We're the only person that's going through this. Everybody else is living this honky-dory life. And that's just not the case. So as the Edifying Queens, we just felt it necessary, for one, because we truly are going through things too, but also just in a place where we want to be vulnerable and transparent with you guys and let you know that we're going through the same types of things, but we are not defeated. We don't have to be in a stance of defeat, because we absolutely have victory. And I know that if we've been, you know, in church all of our lives, we have a lot of scripture. You know, we know a lot of scripture. We know a lot of church-based stuff. But then it's like, and Divine says this beautifully, it comes a point in our lives where we actually have to live out the scripture. Like, it comes a point where we have to get beyond the just spitting it out and muttering it out where it fits in a conversation and so on and so forth, and actually live that thing. And that's something that's completely different. To say it, to mutter it, to, you know, reprimand others with the word, that's so easy to do. But when it comes down to us, when the challenge is on us, when the sickness falls on us in our family, when the difficult decision, as this episode will focus on, falls on us, then what you gonna do? Are you really gonna rest? Are you really gonna rest in the Word of God? And so that's where we are. You know, for those of us just joining us in this series of Life is Hard, we're just wanting to be vulnerable and transparent. And so I titled this episode Life is Hard, specifically with decision making, because I've been in a season where I've been faced with a very difficult decision. I'm going to let you guys into my life a little bit in the spirit of being vulnerable and transparent. As you know, may or may not know, the Edifying Queens, we were joined together. We are truly, as our theme song says, four ladies from across the world. But we're joined together here in California, where we were linked together via the military. And so that's how we came to know one another. And it has just come to be a blossoming friendship. And so one of the things that I have been faced with in the, last couple of months is that I have two children. And so I found out that I was expecting another baby. And so this was kind of a baby that we weren't necessarily planning for, but such a blessing nonetheless. And so in the sense of like, okay, we now have three children, it was very heavy on me to consider taking some time off from work. Now, this was a very difficult decision for me because before meeting and marrying my husband and getting connected to the military and so on and so forth, I was very independent. You know, I had already started my career. And so working is just something that I'm used to doing. It's just what I do. So to even question or go back and forth about the possibility of not working, of, you know, now taking on the role of being a mother and working in my home, that was very, very foreign to me. So of course, you know, wanting to do what God wanted me to do, but also, you know, just wanting to have the fulfillment and the what we feel is living out our purpose and being fulfilled, you know. But I prayed and I, because I wanted to know, God, what do you want me to do? What should I do? But even in my praying, I was still trying to form the narrative. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, you praying and asking God what you want, what you want me to do, God. But meanwhile, like, you already kind of formed what you want to happen and you want God to like, okay, you're playing. That's what I was doing. And I was like really heavy in that, like, okay, so this is what I'm gonna do, you know. And backdrop about me, I'm very much a planner. Like, life 101, I'm a plan it out, you know. I'm A to Z. People who know me very closely, my closest friends, know this about me. I plan things out. I don't jump into decisions. I think through things very carefully before I make decisions. And so this was like really kind of burning me up because I'm still pregnant. You know, I haven't had the baby yet, but it's just, you have to prepare for these types of things. You have to prepare to take time off from work, you know, financially and getting things prepared for that lifestyle shift. So there were some things that were very scary to me in considering taking time off. You know, again, going down to one income, that was very scary for me. And, you know, again, we live in California. And if you know anything about California, it's very expensive to live in the state of California, one of the most beautiful states in the country. You have a great lifestyle here, but it's expensive to live here. So going up to one income was very scary for me. Also, just the idea, again, of shifting from having work, you know, as an outlet to kind of have some time away from home and kind of shifting my role to being around my two smaller children throughout the day, that seemed to be maybe not something that I wanted to truly do. So y'all, I battled with this decision. Because I felt God had already told me the answer, like when I asked him the first time, you know what I'm saying? But I kept, and my husband uses this word, I kept circumventing because God would tell me the answer. He had already told me, but I kept going around him, still trying to plan what I wanted it to be, what I wanted it to look like because of my fears, because of the things that I was afraid of. And so, you know, I just started getting real raw and uncut with God. Like, this is what I'm afraid of. So I'd say if I had to kind of break this down into steps of how we go about making a decision when we have that challenging, what do I do when we're in that place? I would say step one is to get real with yourself about what are your fears, and then get real with God and tell him. Because he knows, but it's like he just wants us to verbalize it so that we can humble ourselves before him. And then once we can get humble before him, then he can help us. He already know what you gonna say. He already know what your issue is. He already know what you afraid of before it come out your mouth. But it's the thing about humbling. You know, we like that too, y'all. Like, you know, if you have, if you're dating, or if it's your spouse, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all may have gotten in an argument, and now, you know, some time has gone by, and y'all, you know, going about your business, but spouse never really said, I'm sorry. Or like that sorry just didn't seem genuine enough. Don't that make you feel some type of way? I mean, I know you done gone about your business. Y'all talking a little bit. Y'all okay. But you still kind of feel some kind of way because he or she never said, I'm sorry, like heartfelt. Like that's how God be feeling. Like if you've been married long enough, or if you've, you know, dated and kind of established a level of trust with someone long enough, you know that the person had no ill intent in whatever argument or disagreement y'all had. But it's something about him or her coming to you and saying, baby, I'm sorry, and being heartfelt about that. It's something about that, right? That's exactly how it is when we think about our Father. He knows already before we say it, but it's the acknowledgement of the thing. God, I'm afraid of XYZ. God, I'm afraid of what this will look like to go from two incomes down to one. God, I'm afraid that I will not be in a place of peace. I will not be fully fulfilled by staying at home as opposed to going to work. Please help me. Now, when you can get in that position, because that's where I had to go, y'all. I had to get in this position of vulnerability, of rawness, of just, this is where I'm at. I'm scared. Just say it. I'm scared. And tell him what you're afraid of. And then ask him to help you, because he will. He will. But if we walk around stubborn with our chest poked out, we got it all out of control, we got it figured out, I promise you we'll spiral and chase our tail forever, forever. Amen. We got to get humble. We got to get humble. Step one, get humble. Tell them what you're afraid of. Even if you can't tell your closest friends because you're in this place of pride, tell God. Tell God what you're afraid of. That's step one to making a good decision. Tell him what you're afraid of. Be honest with him. And then meanwhile, you got to, you know, make sure you're attached to a Bible-based teaching church. Because y'all, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that there ain't going to change. Faith ain't coming through the mantras that you listen to from your favorite author. Faith ain't coming from... I hear people out here talking about the energy, you know what I'm saying, that the atmosphere that the universe is giving off today. Faith and comfort and peace ain't coming through none of that. You are wasting your time. Faith is not coming from your psychologist, although those individuals are greatly advised if you need someone to talk to work through some things. I ain't telling you to stop talking to your psychologist or your therapist. No, keep doing that. But that ain't where your help come from. Amen. So we got to get before God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. He is. I felt, oh gosh, somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that. All those other things, horoscopes and all this other stuff. It ain't nothing wrong with that, y'all. Don't get me wrong. It ain't nothing wrong with that. But you gotta put your faith and your trust in this word, in the things of God. That's what we gotta do. So let me get back to this. So step one, right? We're being honest. We're being transparent. We're being raw. We're telling God what we're afraid of. And look, we're telling him that we need his help. And so let's go to the word. So if we only got two scriptures for us today, because it don't really take much to just get down to the nitty gritty of a matter. So Proverbs 3, particularly verse 6, but I'm gonna do 5 too, because this is a very familiar passage of scripture. But as I started this episode by saying we're familiar with passages of scripture, but are we ready to really live this thing out? So Proverbs 3, starting at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whoo! Trust, rely, depend. So here we go. So now, remember I told you, I asked him to help me. I told him what I was afraid of, and I said, help me. So now he's throwing out these buzzwords that I know. All right, purified, you got to trust me. You got to rely on me. So now that instantly almost takes out the whole element of being afraid that ends won't meet. Because if I'm trusting God to be my source for my family, then he will take care of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's the next part. Do not depend on your own understanding, purified. So yeah, I know you're looking at it. I know you're looking at the numbers. It's doable. It may not be as loose and comfortable as you'd like, but it's absolutely doable. But beyond all that, don't depend on your understanding. Don't depend on that. Don't depend on that. Because he had already told me, I had already felt him in my spirit giving me peace and an unction to take some time off to be mother. I had already felt him do that. So now the word just seals the deal. Don't depend on your understanding. Now here's 6, Proverbs 3 verse 6. Seek his will. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. Seek his will. Woo! Seek his will. Purify. What did I tell you to do? What did I tell you to do? And I know I ain't the only one going through this situation where God has told you to do something and you are circumventing and going around in circles chasing your own tail because you still want to lean on your understanding like I was doing too. I'm right there with you. You're not alone. I'm right there with you. But I'm here to tell you, God is saying, seek my will, because in the will is everything you need. A couple episodes back, I told you that was like me and my husband's mantra. We just want to be in your will. Because if we're in your will, our joy is there. Our peace is there. Our deliverance is there. Our hope is there. Woo! Everything you need is in the will. Seek my will. Seek my will. Seek his will in all you do. And he will direct your path. You see, you get a little emotional about things when you stop talking about a thing and you actually living and walking in a thing. And so I can come from a real and raw place with you guys because I'm living and walking in a thing. And I've seen how he's changed my heart. I've seen the peace that he's given me. Whew. And not just that, y'all. But then, because he knows that we're little old measly pieces of flesh that actually need to see it to believe it, he still know we struggle with that, y'all. He knows we're trying real hard to do this. You know, faith without works is dead. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. And we walking in that, and we really want to do that. But he also knows as a good father, that my baby girl, my baby boy, she actually needs to see it too. So then he start pouring in the stuff you need, like extra checks coming out of nowhere that you can just store in your savings account for a rainy day. Just extra money that you thought you was gonna have to put out, that he actually brought into your storehouse that you can just save and put away, that can be supplemental income to that one income that you was worried about. How he's already building up the storehouse when I got in a position where I was ready to trust him, where I said, okay, I'm trusting you now. I'm gonna rely on you. I really am gonna live it now. I'm gonna rely on you. I'm gonna trust you. And when I got in that posture, how he started just giving me little pieces of, like, I told you so. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. He'll give you little pieces. He'll give you little pieces, y'all. Oh my gosh. Put them to the test. Put them to the test. Put them to the test. Seek his will. Seek his will. Because he tells us. He will tell us what he wants us to do. It's our job to discern, to listen, and then to do. That's our part. And then the other verse that I wanted to share with you guys, I told you I only had two. So I'm in Mark 14. Mark 14, verse, I'm going to start at verse 32. And this is when Jesus prays in Gethsemane. And so it says, and they came to an olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be filled with horror and deep distress. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. I'm in verse 35. He went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. This is what he said, y'all. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. But this is the part that I really get with. Yet I want your will, not mine. Yet I want your will and not mine. So in our decisions, step two. All right. So we got a step one. Get raw with him and ourselves about what our fears are regarding the decision about what you should do, whether it's going to another job, whether it's moving out of state to another place, whether it's getting into a marriage or not. Like, it's not a good and a bad. It's just a, God, what you want me to do? That's what I put in my description. A lot of times, these types of decisions aren't like, I'm gonna be doing something sinful or not doing something sinful. I ain't talking about that. This ain't them type of decisions. Now, that ain't what I'm talking about. We gotta, you know, stay out of sin as much as possible. I'm talking about the decisions where it's a good and a good, right? Like, it's a good and a good. But as God's children, there's almost like a good and a best. Okay? So like, there's a good, like, you'll be okay. He'll see you through. You probably will have to go through some extra challenges and tribulations and stuff he didn't want you to have to go through. But you know how we do. Sometimes we just ignore everything he done told us because we just got to do it our way. So these are good and best type of decisions. God is our Father. God is our Father. He's a parent. So as a parent parents a child and always wants to have child be in the best position. Not good. I could send you over to that school and that would be okay. You would still get an education. But no, I want you to go over here because this is where you're going to get the best education, right? That type of stuff. So the best. This is what God wants for us too, the best. So in his best, we have to be open to his will about what he wants us to do, about what he wants us to do, because he's going to lead and guide and direct us into the best. So step two is just simply submitting to the will of God. What is he telling you to do? And we can't say, I know we say it a lot, like, well, God ain't really told me. No, he has. He has. He told us, and then we backtracked, circumvented, said no, because it might not have been something we really wanted to do. But if we're really praying about a thing, really seeking an answer, being quiet before him, he'll give it to him. He'll give it to us, because his not giving it to us would make him a liar. And that's just not what he is. God is not a liar. He is not a liar. He will give us our answer. And it might not, you know, be in a way that you were expecting. It might come through your pastor on a Sunday morning, and your pastor just telling his own story. And in his story, in his testimony, his or her testimony, you get the answer you need to. That's why we got to be raw and transparent in the body of Christ, because a lot of times our answers come through other people. Because when we hear what God has done for somebody else, now we get confidence and comfort and peace and knowing that, shoot, well, if he did it for them, well, he can do it for me too. He can do it for me too. I just got to trust him. It's just the level of trust that we're willing to put forth on a thing. So, y'all, that's where we at. Decision making 101. When I got to a place where I humbled myself, I was honest with myself about my fears. I went to God and told him my fears, and then I submitted. When I gave it up and was open and honest about my fears, I submitted. I like threw my hands up and was like, okay, now you tell me what to do. Now I'm going to wait for you to help me. Now I'm going to wait for you to help me, because you told me that you're a very present help. Yes, you are. So I'm going to wait for you to help me. You told me that you never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm going to let you help me. And when I got in that place, in that posture, in that position, more scriptures, more clarification continued to come my way. But it first started by getting in a place of humbleness and rawness and vulnerability and transparency with God, and being just open as to where I was, and then listening to him, being open and expecting to get some type of instruction, some type of clarification, some type of direction. And again, it might come through church on a Sunday. It might come through your mama. It might come through your best friend, because when you surround yourself with believers, God will give them people something to say to you. They don't know why they're saying it to you, but the Holy Spirit told them to do it. And so in their obedience, you get what you need. So stay surrounded. Stay surrounded by believers. That's important. Your friends should be believers. Now, of course, we all have some friends that are not, you know, believers. They may be unbelievers, but your closest, your confidants, those people should be believers. Ain't nobody got time to be playing around in this world with folk that's going to give us some advice that ain't lining up with this word. People leaving here every single day. No age limit now. You don't have time to be wasting time. Get yourself some confidants that if you take something to them, you know that they're going to give you some advice that you may not want to hear sometimes, but it's lining up with the word of God, and vice versa. That's what we all need. So life is hard. Nobody ever promised us, you know, roses and pansies forever, but we are victorious. We are victorious. Yes, we are, through this word of God, through Jesus Christ. We are victorious. He has us. He just is waiting for us to submit, to throw the white flag, to give it to him. So whatever you may be dealing with today, a decision that you're faced with today, go to Him. What are you afraid of? You got to get real about that. Fear is a real thing that will keep you complacent and stuck for years. You got to get real about fears. Because once you can call them out, write them down, give them to God, then you can begin to work through those things and be a giant and be victorious against those things. But you got to acknowledge them first. And once you do that and you give those things over to God, then He can begin to do a work in you. And then at the end of it, we can't do nothing but give God the glory, because we know that there's no how we could have come to the conclusion and the place that we're in once you finally make the decision. And, you know, now that I'm like almost to the end of my pregnancy, you know, and like I said, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be mommy to my kids, right? It ain't forever, but it's a season. And I'm looking forward to being able to make that my business, right? Not worried about the full-time job and the kids. No, the babies. That's my business. That's my place of work. Tending to them, teaching my little two-year-old. And I'm looking forward to that. Keeping my home in tip-top shape, you know, as best I can. Taking care of my husband. I'm looking forward to that now. You would have talked to me 4 months ago. Child, please. But I'm telling you about the work that God can do in your heart. And so He has given me great peace about that, and great comfort in just the change in lifestyle for just a season. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the opportunity. So I just wanted to come on here very briefly and just help you guys too, because I know that when I was in the midst of, you know, what should I do? How should I? Oh, what should I do? Oh my gosh, what should I do? What should I do? Oh God, what should I do? You know, like it's heavy. Give it over to God. Submit to His will. Y'all, His will. There is nothing better than the will of God. There is nothing better than the will of God. So when we pray, God, I just want Your will. I need Your help, and I want Your will. That's a place of humbleness and submission that our Father absolutely loves. So although life is hard and making decisions can be very hard, we have some instructions. We have a guide to being successful and victorious in making those decisions. So I do pray that that blesses you and gives you some clarity that you may be in need of at this time. And it might not be right now, but later on down the road, when you're in the midst of having to make a decision, I hope Holy Spirit brings this back into your remembrance. Oh, remember that episode Purified Made about decision making, and you can press play on this. All right. And I pray that it blesses you. And so until next time, you all be blessed. Love you all. I think it's so important to give anyone who's listening today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior an opportunity to make the decision to join the family, the very best family, and that's a kingdom family, becoming a kingdom citizen. And if that's you, if you're seeking that relationship with Jesus Christ, wanting Him to be your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I need You. I believe that You are Lord and that You died for my sins and arose for my justification. Forgive me for my sins and all I have done wrong. I receive You into my heart as my Lord
and Savior. Save me, Lord. Save me right now. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, congratulations on making the very best decision of your life, and that is to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you need further direction or instruction on what this walk with Jesus looks like, please email us. Our information is on the main detail page for the podcast. Please shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you and walk this thing out with you. God bless you. It is always a joy to come here with you and to bring you a message. This is your girl, Purified. Until next time, remember that God's got you, He loves you, and you are free in Him.
Four ladies from across the world, we have come just to give a word. Come one, come two, come all. Ride with us and we won't let you fall. Loving God is what we've come to do. Edifying queens, oh, that's it.